Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
Covering Training Camp 2018, presented by Mountain High Appliance. Here's Big Al and D-Mac.
You know, sometimes in life it's good to know you don't have to worry about things, so we never have to worry about ever interviewing Marquette King. So that's awesome. check that off the list. Like, don't have to do that ever. Check. That's cool. Usually we have great relationships with the punters for the Denver Broncos over the years. You know, usually they're quite nice and add some interesting insight and, you know, are relatively humble and are cool guys to deal with. But yeah, we don't have to worry about that. I'm stunned with how he treated Zach and Stokely. I mean, beyond disrespectful.
I didn't hear exactly what was said during the interview. Was it totally disrespectful? Or was it just really like he didn't know who Brandon Stokely or Zach By were?
Well, I mean, you know, listen, if you don't know who I am or Mike Evans or
but you
Zach
don't know
Stokely,
who Brandon Stokely
if you,
is?
If you don't know who Brandon Stokely is, or frankly, you or Mark Schlereth, then you're just not that bright in terms of your NFL IQ. That's all. And, you know, you're no better than Clint McDonald. Has played in the league for like 9 years today. Came by, standing there with Mike Kliss. How you doing, Clint? Good, sir. How are you? How you feeling? Doing all right. Thank you very much. Very polite. You know, this is a dude who's actually done something. Dude, you're a punter. You are a punter.
Dude, I'm almost tempted to hear exactly what happened.
You want to hear it again? You guys have it back there? Big Sexy, you got it? All right. Well, another show. Sometimes those go in the catacombs of other show stuff, but I'm sure we can dig it up at some point.
Oh, that's a little disappointing. I mean, not a little disappointing. That is really disappointing because, you know, he's a punter.
You're a punter, dude. That's it. The best from the worst is separated by like 5 yards per punt.
So is it maybe some of the Janikowski, you know, I'm the man stuff rubbed off on him?
Janikowski's fine. He's
just saying, but
know.
I mean, he was, you know. He was the man there in Oakland for a long time.
Yeah, the king is here.
The king is here.
Yeah. Oh, the king.
The king is here.
Yeah. I don't care how many sit-ups you do and how much weight you lift. You're a friggin' punter.
He looks glorious.
I got to hear it.
Josh McDaniels.
Now I'm going to be on podcast search now.
Josh McDaniels cut Brett Kern after the Broncos were 6-0. He's been with the Titans ever since. He may be the best existing punter in the league.
So is this? Could you see or feel why John Gruden cut him?
John Gruden. Oh yeah.
Marquette King.
Actually, yes. Now I get it.
Really? It was that bad?
Yep. You got an attitude. You're going to take that poison to the locker room. That's why you're going to be. I'll find somebody else. Okay. My next guy does not punt quite as far. No problem. Because swear to God, look at it. The net yards is like from the number one punter to the last punter in the league, it's like 5 to 7 yards. If you have a punter with a bad attitude or a long snapper with a bad attitude, field goal kickers may be a little bit different. But you got a punter or a long snapper with a bad attitude, we will find another one quickly.
We got to get Zach Scott. I mean, Zach By or Brandon Stokely on the line. I want to hear from them whether or not they thought the interview went well. Maybe you
I definitely didn't misread it.
My goodness. So. I was on the phone with Armin.
How's he doing?
He's our program director, you know.
Yeah. I'll make sure he's okay. Please dig it up for us. Can we find it? I mean, if you got it, let's play it, I guess. It's only a minute and a half long.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
He was only there with... What? Did it start raining or something?
No. Zach got rid of him. Rightfully so.
You've got to be kidding me.
No. All right, here you go.
Yeah, good to meet you.
Hey, how's it going, man? I'm Zach By. We host a radio show here.
That's what's up, man.
It's Stokely and Zach sitting down with Marquette King, one of the newest members of the Denver Broncos. Now that 6 days of training camp are in your back pocket, how would you summarize it for yourself personally?
I don't know. I don't even know how to summarize it.
Good?
It's like a regular practice day.
How's the transition been from you know, new team, new locker room, obviously, you know, moving from Oakland to Denver. How has that transition been for you?
I don't know. I just
good.
It's cool. We got some cool people on the team.
Nice.
Yeah. How is your relationship so far with the coaching staff, the brand new coaching staff as well? You getting along well?
Yeah, everything's going good.
You always got a lot of personality, but it doesn't seem you have a lot to say right now. You frustrated about something in particular or something?
I just don't like talking about football, really. I just do it.
Well, tell us about yourself. Who is Marquette King? What do you like to do? What do you enjoy?
I know I like more oxygen.
Is it altitude bothering you a little bit? I know it takes some time to get adjusted.
I get on my nerves sometimes, but, I mean, it's my job, so, yeah.
How much are you looking forward to games starting here a week from tomorrow, you know, preseason games, and get, you know, opportunity to really strap up?
I don't know. I mean, it's definitely coming, so.
All right, we'll leave it there. Have a good rest of your day, man.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Yeah. Ooh, 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 ooh. The altitude is getting on his nerves.
Zach's on the phone if you want
to
ask him.
Oh, I got to talk to my man. Got to talk to my man, Zach. Zach,
the king is here.
What was going on with that today, man? What happened?
Well, I just want to make sure I throw this out there before anything. We asked him if he wanted to talk. Like, it wasn't like a media obligation that he had, like, to talk to us. Like, he didn't have to talk to us. We just asked him if he wanted to talk, and he said, yeah. So, like, if you're going to handle yourself like that, just say, we don't want to talk. Or you could say, yeah, I'll talk, but I really don't want to talk about football today. So if you guys want to talk about something else, that's fine, too.
Well, what else would you be interested in talking about during football season in training camp?
You know, that's a good question, but at least we would have known that he didn't want to talk about it. And then maybe we could have said, you know what, we want to talk ball. So, you know, don't worry about it. And you could tell, you hear for the first couple responses, Stokely and I kind of giggle because it was almost like, you know, I thought for a moment that, okay, he's joking around with us. He's trying to be like, you know, big Bill Belichick, Greg Popovich type of character. And, you know, I kind of went with it for a minute. But then, you know, when he said the oxygen comment, you know, and he gave a one-word response as to how you like your coaches, It brought up something I heard 2 weeks ago, that Marquette King's not thrilled to be a Denver Bronco. So take that for what it's worth. And then when I hear that, I'm like, dang, man. Like, I just didn't know what to think. I thought it was pretty rude.
Where'd you hear that? Is that the vibe going around town that he doesn't? I mean, I hate to do that now. Wait a minute now.
Oh, sure. No, and you have every right to say that. I heard it from a guy you and I trust, and I don't want to throw him under the bus, but I tell you, if I said it to you off air, you'd say, yeah, that guy's very informed. That's just what I had heard. I never shared that. But then when he said those comments, like, how's it been? Well, like, I'd like a little bit more oxygen. Like, yeah, it's annoying. It's like, okay, like, this guy, I don't know. He's a different cat. But I'll tell you this, even guys who aren't good speakers, and, you know, don't like to do interviews, it's about effort. I mean, he didn't give a damn. And so after about a minute and 20 seconds, I'm like, all right, like, we're kind of wasting our time here. So you have a good day, and we'll go have a good day.
Quite frankly, I thought, you know, if that was us, it wouldn't have lasted that long.
I think it probably would have got him.
I don't know if it would have lasted a minute 20.
I think, Zach, you did the right thing, and I think you got somebody, you give it a shot, you know? And it wasn't live. You were recording that, too, right? It wasn't
live.
Why'd you play that? Why'd you play that if you recorded it?
That's a good question, Alfred, because when we sat back, we said, all right, well, that was the worst interview we'd ever done. And I've been doing this for a decade. It's the worst interview that I've ever done in any platform. And I said, man, you know what? That was actually so bad, our listeners may get a kick out of it.
Yeah, I agree. It's a train wreck. No doubt about it.
I mean, there are some guys that we absolutely wouldn't interview anymore on our show. But
Marquette King's now on that list.
I don't know. I want to talk to him.
I asked him. I said, it seems like you're frustrated about something. Like, you're not.
They had to run gassers at the end of practice. Maybe that's what it was.
Well, the thing is, Why would we ever want to talk to the punter? We wouldn't. The only reason that we talk to Marquette King is because he's charismatic and had a lot of personality. So for him to play too cool for school when he's built his brand around that, I was just like, dude, you know what? Get lost.
Okay.
I'm good.
Thank you, Zach.
Thank you, man.
Have a good day.
See you guys.
See you.
Wow. They had it in the can and they played it because he was that upset.
It's juicy audio. I probably would have played it too. But it was a bad interview, no doubt about it.
We've had some really bad interviews.
I don't know if you've had anything like that. I mean, that's just somebody who just didn't want to be, they didn't, you know.
Yeah, you're right. We've never had an antagonist.
Like, we've had TJ Ward on. He just really, you know, didn't offer up anything, and he was kind of quiet, that sort of thing. But I think that's just who TJ Ward kind of is.
We've had some linebackers on here that we couldn't have on because of, you know, for fear of losing our FCC license.
Oh, well, that was what's-his-face. Oh, my God. That guy was awesome. Who is that linebacker? Oh, who is that? Help me.
But anyway, we don't have to mention his name.
No. It'd be fine. Webster, was it? Do you know his name? No, he would curse with everybody. He just could not. He could not not curse. That wasn't anything insulting. He just could not not curse.
But
he did that with everybody, by the way.
Did he?
Yeah, he did. I swear to God. He just, I'm forgetting the guy's
name. He got in trouble
later down the line. But, gosh darn it. All right, anyways.
We don't have to go down.
No, if somebody doesn't want, if we're doing, like, you know, media etiquette here, you never have to come on the air with us. Ever.
No, that's not how we built our show. But, you know, it's
nice. If you don't want to do an interview with us, don't do it. This show is not dependent on interviewing anybody, frankly. So if you want to come on, and you should know, if you've been in the league for a little bit, what you're doing. The people who are interviewing you, they've got a job too. If you just don't want to do it, don't do it. Like Matt Paradis.
Oh, I guarantee
Matt Paradis
didn't know.
Seems like a nice enough guy.
Listen.
He really doesn't want to do interviews, so I'll never, ever, ever ask for Matt Paradis to be on the air with us.
I'll tell you what. I really believe that Marquette King had no idea he was talking to Brandon Stokely. 100%.
Well, that's bad on
guarantee. But, you know, I mean, when you are the Denver media team, you don't usually have a guy that's walking with the punter. You have a guy that's walking with the head coach. You have a guy that's walking with the quarterback. You have a guy that's maybe walking with another star player, Demaryius Thomas or Cortland Sutton, the way camp has been going.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe the interns are taking care of the coordinators. There's no members of the media team that works for the Broncos walking with the punter to protect.
By the way, on the text line, somebody pointed out Oakland was fifth in punting, 47 yards. The 32nd team in punting last year was 42 yards.
Yeah, but how many were returned for touchdowns? See, that, some of that
there's
stuff.
There were only a handful of touchdowns returned, period.
But
the
I'm just, that's what I'm saying. But we had one returned against us.
Oh, well, we had the worst special teams in the history of Pigskin last
year. He's part of that process of turning us from worst to first.
You think Riley Dixon was the issue?
I don't know. Maybe he could, Ben. I mean, you get a punt returned against you. You're the issue.
He's a punter. Hopefully, he just does his punting job, and we can.
How many years has he signed for?
I don't know. I don't care.
That was just bad, though. I don't know if I would have played that.
You know who I liked?
I probably would have told you, let's can it.
You know who we had a good relationship with? Every other punter ever. Tom Ruin, Mitch Berger, Brett Kern, Britton Colquitt. We had great conversations with Britton Colquitt over the years.
I love talking to Colquitt, man.
Riley Dixon was fine. We've literally for 20 years had good relationships with every single punter.
Maybe he just once again, he said it's annoying with the altitude. Maybe it's because they caught him right after practice and they just finished. They actually did conditioning today with the Broncos. So maybe I'm just going to I'll give him a half of a pass.
Okay. They did that they've done that a couple times after. Yeah, right. We had to run four sprints. He's a punter. He does nothing for 2 hours.
It was like eight.
He punts for 6 minutes a practice.
I always looked at making the team run at the end
By the
of
way,
practice is punishment because what
well,
you're telling
done,
them
they've done it a couple times.
What
now.
You're telling them is that you didn't get enough conditioning during practice.
They've done it a couple times.
That's old school.
Okay.
Okay, VJ.
All right. I see you. By the way, maybe that's maybe that is a little insight about Gruden. Maybe that's the vibe King gave off. Maybe Gruden just didn't want anything to do with it. And there you go. That may be the case. That may be the case there in Oakland. I mean, you know, how much of that can you take? Yeesh.
Guarantee he didn't know he was talking to Brandon Stokley. 100%. 100%.
No, that's too bad on him. That being said, not to dwell on the negative, that was just a surprising moment there of camp.
Like, what if that was Ray Lewis talking to him, you think he would have acted the same way?
I would hope not. I would hope he wouldn't act that same way if he knows the guys or doesn't know the guys. Unlikely. The reason we wouldn't act like that with Ray Lewis is Ray Lewis would still be talking.
Did you hear
I saw the whole game yesterday. I saw all the interviews, saw the whole game, saw everything.
Did you see the portion of the broadcast when Tony Dungy was asked about T.O.?
I did.
Did you see how?
I did. Very critical of T.O.
Did you see how silent, though, Chris Collinsworth went? I mean, he went like stealth, like, ah. If I don't have anything good to say, I'm not going to say anything at all. Well, kind of quiet.
On that, listen, Tony Dungy was asked for his opinion, and he's an analyst, and he's a Hall of Fame member.
Mm-hmm.
So he is entitled to say whatever he wants
based on
his experience.
But I think the broadcasters have just as good of an insight about what this is.
Well, Chris Collinsworth is not in the Hall of Fame. And
Neither is Al Michaels.
Al Michaels is not in the Hall of Fame either. So you probably should lay back a little bit if you have somebody who's actually in the Hall of Fame. And Tony Dungy not only spoke of what it means to the family and friends, but also what it means to the class itself, and talked about how he has a different relationship now with guys who are in his class that he didn't before.
I understand
that. So Tony Dungy's perspective, I appreciated it. I tend to actually agree with Tony Dungy, because he wasn't being mean on T.O.
He was saying
he doesn't realize what he's giving up, and he really doesn't realize what he's taking away from other people who are important in his life.
You know what? I'll tell you, when I was listening to Tony Dungy, I was like, you know what? Blah, 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 blah. All those people that are important to T.O. will be at the other event.
There you go. You could
so
point
that's
it that
the way
too.
I looked at it.
You
but,
point it that way,
but
too.
You know, I'll give you my college Hall of Fame experience. And there were some guys that I got a chance to know during that process that I still keep in touch with, you know. So I understand that. But T.O. knows basically everybody that was, you know, maybe there was,
you know,
minus a couple of people. He knows everybody else.
I played against
Dawkins.
I was lucky enough to be drug around on your coattails when you went into the College Football Hall of Fame. That was so special. And so
for me,
so
for
unique.
Me, because I felt like I was representing the University of Colorado.
Yeah, but everybody there was representing a lot of other people.
I know, but I wasn't necessarily saying
T.O. represents a lot of other people.
No, T.O. represents himself. I was representing.
Okay.
I played for one team.
You don't think T.O. represents his college if he's going in the Hall of Fame?
No, I don't.
Of course he does.
No, I don't. No, I think T.O. represents T.O.
Al. One thing I learned from my own son's college baseball experiment, or the exploration. Every single stadium we go to, there is somebody who is significant in the history of that school.
That's right. And T.O. is celebrating with those people on Saturday.
I gotcha. But to think that he doesn't represent his school if he goes into the Hall of Fame is just silly. All right, listen.
He is representing
his
school.
He can do whatever he wants. Tony Dungy's point was more, he doesn't realize what he's missing. And it's got to do with other people besides him. And it's hard to argue with that.
Man, listen, man. Every time we play USC, I get a phone call from Sam Bam Cunningham. I call him. He calls me and asks, am I coming to the game? And if he's coming to the game, then I take him to dinner. That's only a relationship that I could have.
Because of the Hall of Fame.
It was only born because of the Hall of Fame. I mean, that's my guy. I mean, Sam is, I think, 20 years older than I am. And there's no way we could have had that relationship if we didn't meet in that kind of setting. But it was for me, he told me things about playing football against Alabama and being like the first black player to play against Bear Bryant in that stadium out in Alabama. And I mean, the stories were magnificent. So, I took so much from it. But what does T.O. take from his contemporaries?
You got T.O. talking about Tony Dungy's comments? Well, I mean, what do you got?
He was actually at a Dick's Sporting Goods park, or Dick's Sporting Goods in Chattanooga, I believe.
Oh, he's probably getting an appearance fee. Something the other guys are not getting this week.
He was giving some sort of shopping spree to some kids.
Oh, okay.
He was talking about the honor and actually why he did it in Chattanooga.
Go ahead. How long is it?
28 seconds.
I'm going to get y'all up off of T.O.
I'm not hating on T.O. Neither was Dungy. He was just reflecting on what he's getting. Nobody was hating on T.O.
Why didn't he go in the first ballot?
Oh, God. That's a whole nother conversation.
Why didn't he go in?
You want to hear from T.O. or not?
Right now, I want you to answer me. Why didn't he go in the first ballot?
I have no idea. I would have definitely voted
for
him.
That's just straight up player hating on a guy because you didn't like him. Because the numbers bore a different story. The second best receiver in the history of the Hall of Fame doesn't go on in the first ballot, but Randy Moss does?
Okay. You didn't go in the College Football Hall of Fame first ballot.
I'm not that guy, though. I'm not the greatest linebacker or the second greatest linebacker who have ever played in the history of college football.
I heard this argument made earlier today. Do you think T.O. would have made as big of a stink this year had Randy Moss not been elected? Had T.O. been the
maybe
only,
not.
Had been the only receiver elected at the Hall of Fame this year?
Yeah, so what they're saying basically is, you know, and then you know, to hear the reporter last night, I forget who it was, talking to Randy Moss, you know, saying...
Tafoya?
Was it Michelle Tafoya? Okay, so Michelle Tafoya asked Randy Moss, hey, you are one of only, three or four first ballot Hall of Famers. Almost like throwing it in T.O.'s face. I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
All right. We'll take a break.
I want to finish this at some point. I want to finish this because...
We've got the big three. We can't. Because
the fellas will be with me on this.
All right. Okay.
I feel you out there, fellas. If you're not with me right now, you're in the wrong.
All right. Big three's coming up next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222. The phone number, SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
Covering Training Camp 2018, presented by Mountain High Appliance. It's Big Al and D-Mac with the Big Three, presented by Sam's Number 3 Diner and Bar.
It's another day at training camp where Courtland Sutton made the play of the day on a deep pass. And team first move the ball pass. Keenum throws it deep down the left sideline with Brendan Langley mugging Courtland Sutton.
Pass interference.
Oh, clearly. Sutton makes the catch anyway to the roars of the huge crowd. Kids Day today.
Oh, what a great crowd.
Happy
today.
Birthday to Miles. And Courtland Sutton just put on another show, even on shorter plays, like a third down and five when you got to have it, with Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius on the field. Case Keenum just looks for Courtland Sutton. Hits him, no problem, first down. If you need a short pass, a long pass, whatever pass you need, Courtland Sutton is there. Al, in terms of just breakout camps, off the top of your head, can you think of somebody who's had a better week out of the box than Courtland Sutton?
Maybe the only other guy that I can think of is Von Miller, his first week at training camp. It was clear then that he was special. He was different. Outside of that, as a rookie goes...
It's been impressive, hasn't it?
Wow, I'm trying to think like back to every rookie that I've seen. And... that's been a lot of them as a player and as an analyst around here. First week, maybe Marcus Nash was good.
Maybe. Courtland Sutton had a great first
Nobody
week.
Like this, though. Bungos. Nobody like this.
Three!
D-Mac, last night during the broadcast, I got a little emotional because I saw a guy who I absolutely loved growing up in Houston, Texas, man. Robert Brazil is going into the Hall of Fame. And with that, I'll say congratulations. The reason that I got emotional was because Robert Brazil visited my elementary school when I was in Houston, Texas. And I got a chance to meet him when I was like third grade, fourth grade, somewhere in there. So 8 or 9 years old. And I'll just never forget how nice he was to me. So every time I see those guys, you know, that wear that baby blue that played for the Houston Oilers, you know, I cheered for them. But to see him going into the Hall of Fame, man, it made my heart just swell with joy, man. So I know there are a lot of storylines surrounding this Hall of Fame class, but maybe my favorite guy amongst all of them is number 52, Robert Brazil. Congratulations. Before you have your speech tomorrow and your father has a chance to induct you, I'm going to say congratulations on a job well done, and thank you for being a gentleman for a young kid who got to grow up with a great idol.
Bongos. Three! The helmet rule. Watching the game last night, holy cow, football is going to change. Now, there was speculation that they'll call almost everything in the preseason and try to figure things out, and it'll settle down for the regular season. But if you're a safety in football, I don't know how you tackle anymore. The receivers and tight ends are bigger than you. You inevitably have to have a bit of a running start to grab them anyways. I don't know how you're going to get away with it, or I don't even know what the rules are. To me, and I heard somebody speculate, this will be the new is it a catch, not a catch rule, meaning it's going to evolve with time, and it's going to be pretty harsh in the beginning. Al, what did you think of the helmet rule calls that you saw last night?
I like them. I like them because what they've done is basically said to the NFL and to those that are watching, we want you to stay away from guys' head area. And if you are leading with your helmet, then that's not a good deal. So maybe we are starting to see more tackles around the mid-thighs to the ankles. And I know guys are saying they don't want that, but I kind of looked at it like it's a necessary portion of this league to move forward, especially when you consider that the NFL, DMAC, and its NFL concussion settlement case with the former players have already doled out $502 million. The NFL projected that they would pay out $400 million in the first 10 years. In 2 years, they've paid out $502 million already.
Okay, bongos.
Three!
I got to say, what a welcome that Derwin James got to the NFL. Now, if you didn't hear the story, I'll explain it to you. Derwin James is a first-round draft pick. And, of course, he was drafted by the Chargers. Now, the first-round draft pick was making his he was making his way to his car when he was robbed at gunpoint. He was making his way to his Bentley when he was robbed at gunpoint in the first couple of weeks that he was in the Los Angeles area. And then what happened next was a little bit bizarre, but I'm glad that it ended up being okay. Derwin James got into his vehicle and started to chase the vehicle that and the men who jacked him at gunpoint. Now, at that point, you got to say, hey, man, what would have happened if you would have caught up to him? But it just goes to show you that, you know, things aren't sweet everywhere. And even though you may have it going on in your mind, other people may want to take from you maybe less bling early on in your career, maybe less bling altogether, especially in a city like Los Angeles. Okay, bongos.
Okay.
Three!
What'd you think of Lamar Jackson last night?
I thought that he was a rookie. And with that, you know, I think that there'll be growth. There'll be growth with him, and he'll be okay. But, I mean, there was nothing good, nothing great. But I was okay with that. Were you okay with that?
I think he has some incredible potential and upside. And I think he can throw the ball just fine, and he'll just be fine in the NFL. More than fine, I think he'll actually be great. a lot of people around the country are ripping him for not such a great game, and I told you so, this, that, the other thing. I think you'll be proven wrong over time. I was impressed. I was impressed by the positive things I saw, and the negative things will wash away when you're out there with the number ones and you're playing in a real game. So I was impressed. I saw a lot of incredible potential and a very exciting player. We'll see what they do, because I can't imagine a more different player than Joe Flacco than Lamar Jackson.
I thought Lamar Jackson looked like a very exciting rookie. He flipped the ball out of his hand quickly, and I just think that over time, you know, we'll be proven right about two quarterbacks, okay? Josh Rosen and, of course, Lamar Jackson. I think those two guys, over time, will prove that they are really good basketball players.
Basketball players?
Excuse me, football players.
I was
thinking about my next story.
I think I'll be proven right about Baker Mayfield and Josh Allen and Sam Darnold as well. Bongos.
Three!
Jimmer Fredette, man.
Yes.
Averaging 32.8 through the TBT tournament.
Yeah.
Finished his TBT tournament with 24 points. Why is it that Jimmer Fredette can ball out of control in China, in the TBT tournament?
Yeah.
And also in the what's the NBA D League call now?
How can he
ball out of control in the G League, China, TBT? Yeah. But when it comes to the NBA, he's just a guy.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. Like, when
you know
I look
why?
At...
Do you want to know why?
Yes,
honestly,
yes.
Because
sure.
He's not the guy. He's playing on Team Fredette. He's the guy. He was the guy at BYU. He was the guy in China. He's always the guy, the center focus of the offense. He's not the center focus of the offense on whatever team he's on in the NBA.
So that doesn't make him a good complimentary player? He needs to be the guy?
I mean, he's out basketball.
He's not a complimentary player. It's got to be Team Fredette or nothing.
I mean, Danny Ainge worked out okay for the Celtics back in the day. He
wasn't
that guy.
John Paxson works out pretty good.
I mean,
Steve Kerr worked out pretty good.
Yeah. How many other white guys can we think of? I'm sorry. Bongos.
Reggie Miller worked out pretty good.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about stationary shooting guys. Jeff Hornacek.
Right.
Oh, I can think of another 40 guys that just jump shooters.
Uh-huh.
Or should I say set shot shooters?
Well, we rattled off like seven white guys in a row. I mean, we probably should compare them to somebody else.
Vashawn Leonard, if you want somebody here in Denver.
All right, what's the difference between Isaiah Thomas and Jimmer Fredette?
Oh, my goodness. What's Isaiah Thomas?
Take your pick.
Our Isaiah Thomas?
Sure.
Oh, my goodness. He's a penetrator and a shooter.
Jimmer can't do that?
He's not a penetrator. No, he's not create your own shot guy.
Well, maybe that's it. Maybe that's why it is then.
Yeah, but if he can shoot, he's got to have a spot in the NBA. We got to talk about this off air, Big Sexy.
When we come back, Colin Kaepernick's name was taken out of a song in a video game, the Madden, latest version of Madden. It's quite a bit of controversy. We'll explain it for you coming up next.
Covering Training Camp 2018, presented by Mountain High Appliance. Here's Big Al and D-Mac.
With football at 4, we'll get into Case Keenum's first interception of camp and why it mattered. Not to make too big of a deal of it, but actually, it's kind of an interesting story, so we'll get there. Checking out the body armor liquid. The refreshment from Body Armor.
Oh, I love that Body Armor, man. My son Chris, man. You know Chris. My son Chris.
You.
Went back to college, he took his car, so he loaded the trunk of his car up with Body Armor.
Delicious.
The Body Armor.
Really?
Sports drink. Oh, yeah. We love those things in my house.
Dang.
We love them.
Well, they're a new sponsor, and we got a bunch of it here at the station, so... Welcome to the family, Body Armor.
Oh, yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. Those won't last long.
Is that right?
No.
Okay.
It didn't last week.
Well, leave some.
I think I just drank one anyway.
Okay. Yeah, thumbs up on Body Armor.
You've never had it?
I have not. I'm looking forward to it. I'll have one.
Yeah,
as soon as we go to break here at 4 o'clock, I'll...
it's different than Gatorade, so it's a little different. Yeah, it's a different... Yeah, it's healthier for you.
Okay, that's awesome. Cool.
We'd love that.
All right, the Colin Kaepernick story. Big Sexy, you might have to coach me up here a little bit because I'm not a big Madden guy. I'm sorry. I wish I was. Not really. But that being said, what happens during Madden that there's songs?
Oh, I can tell you that.
Alfred, what happens during Madden where there's songs?
Well, what happens is they have introductory songs that come on, like when the players, you know, like hype songs and, you know, something good, like when you're like practicing to get to like your quarterback skills and your tackling skills. They have different songs on.
But they're real songs, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So how long are the songs?
They're real songs. Yeah, they're like, you know, whatever the length of the song is, 324.
So how many songs would be in a Madden game?
Oh, I would imagine they're probably, 30 songs, Big Sexy, somewhere in there?
Now, you're asking Big Sexy.
But I'm just saying, but it's like every drill, it's, you
30.
Know.
30?
Is it 30?
30 songs.
There you go.
Okay. Very good.
Yeah.
All right. So,
I mean, I played Madden. I'm telling you, when I played Madden, man, I mean, I played Madden at the Super Bowl in the Madden Bowl. So I was a Madden man.
Okay. So tell me about the song that had Colin Kaepernick's name in it. Is this a well-known song? Is this a song? It's by
every song that's on Madden is a well-known song.
It's by YG Big Bank. Right? Okay.
Yeah, that's the name of the song.
All right. So let's hear the original version of it. I mean, what order do you have there, Big Sexy?
Sorry, I thought you were going to do it. I have the, I'll do the original version of it first.
Okay.
Feed me to the wolves, now I lead the pack and you boys all cap, I'm more Colin Kaepernick. I'm rare as affordable health.
All right, so there you go.
You didn't give us a whole lot of that.
Well, that's all you need. That's where his name is mentioned.
Oh, okay.
And here is...
I thought it was Friday up in this piece.
And what do you have now, Big Sexy? The
I have the edited version.
Okay, let's hear it.
Feed me to the wolves. Now I lead the pack and you boys all cap. I'm rare as affordable help.
They just beeped them out. They didn't beep it on the
They
game.
Beeped it out.
No, they just left it. Big Sexy's having some fun.
But did they beep it out?
No.
Feed me to the wolves. Now I lead the pack and you boys all cap. I'm more.
Yeah, that's just Big Sexy throwing
that
in.
Did you do that?
Yes.
Did they do that?
I did that. Here's what it really sounds like.
Okay.
This is the original tweet that came out that went viral regarding the song.
Okay.
Feed me to the wolves. Now I lead the pack and you boys all cap. I'm rare as affordable healthcare.
Oh, they just didn't say anything.
They just bleeped it out, or they just completely
blanked
out.
Oh, I thought they went anymore.
So this created a little bit of buzz yesterday. The video game company has issued
EA Sports
an apology. Is that correct, Brian?
They have.
What
did
they say?
They said, we made an unfortunate mistake with our Madden NFL soundtrack, EA said. Members of our team misunderstood the fact that while we don't have rights to include Colin Kaepernick in the game, this does not affect our soundtracks. We messed up, and the edit should have never happened. We will make it right with an update to Madden NFL 19 on August 6th that will include the reference again. We meant no disrespect, and we apologize to Colin, to YG, and Big Sean, to the NFL, to all of their fans and players for this mistake.
Okay. So it was
something we talked about a little bit yesterday, but we said let's let this thing play out before we make a statement about it.
Remember, we had a meeting when the company that owns us bought us. We had a meeting, and it was like words you can say and words you can't say. Mm-hmm. And there was one particular word, I won't say it, that we kind of used to say, especially you, kind of all the time. And they said another word for butt, you know, like you're a dumb butt or you're a, yeah, right.
What about it?
We were told
they prefer us not to say it.
Right.
But then, every now and then.
And then about a week
for
or so
emphasis,
later.
It may come up.
A week or so later, you said it. I dumped it. And you got all upset about dumping out of it.
Maybe because it was for emphasis.
Right. And in the end, it's not that big of a deal. That's exactly what happened here. It's mm-hmm. not a big deal. We've said the word a million times since. It wasn't that big of a
what
deal
word?
Then. I'm not even going to say it. But at the end of the day, it was just kind of an overreaction to what we thought we had to do. And this is,
oh, yeah, I remember
this
you.
This is what this seems to be.
Yeah.
It's just young, probably somebody younger. They have licensing deals with people in or out of the NFL with what they can and can't do. And somebody just got over anxious with something. That's all. It's pretty simple. But if you were to... You would look at some of the reaction as if it was like the most outrageous thing of all time. It really wasn't.
Right. And I'm glad we waited on it because EA came out, you know, quickly and said that They made a mistake, and you know that's what's. I think that's what's new about the culture that we live in. It's instantaneous. You know, if there was a mistake made, it would probably go viral quickly to let the company who made the mistake know they made a mistake. I mean, no matter where you are or what you're doing, if you make a mistake as a company, it's probably gonna be back in your face within an hour or 2 hours. You know, forget about a 24-hour cycle. I mean, EA Sports was apologizing for this yesterday.
It's quick. Yep. You sure Urban Meyer comes back?
I don't know. It's starting to feel like it may be 50-50 now. But if Urban Meyer says to the investigators, "My wife didn't tell me," who you believe?
Urban Meyer issued a statement today saying he, quote, failed when he denied knowing about domestic violence allegations against one of his former assistants.
Well, then he's fired.
Meyer said last week he knew nothing about the 2015 complaints.
He lied then. He's fired.
Here's the truth. While at the University of Florida and now at Ohio State, I have always followed proper reporting protocols and procedures when I have learned of an incident involving a student athlete, coach, or member of our staff by elevating the issue to the proper channels. And I did so regarding the Zach Smith incident in 2015. I take that responsibility very seriously, and any suggestion to the contrary is simply false.
Wait a minute.
That's what he said.
So he said he didn't know about it, but he said that he reported it.
He said he did the right thing.
Wait a minute. You're saying two separate things here.
All right. I'll keep going. Unfortunately, at Big Ten Media Days on July 24th, I failed on many of these fronts. My intention was not to say anything inaccurate or misleading. However, I was not adequately prepared to discuss these sensitive personnel issues with the media, and I apologize for the way I handled those questions.
So I lied and I'm sorry?
Kind of. Meyer admitted he did not handle the situation correctly during the Big Ten media days, saying that his job is to be, quote, clear, compassionate, and most of all, completely accurate. So what he's saying is in 2015 he did the right thing, and then recently at a media day he just kind of breezed over it. Yeah.
So he's saying that in 2015, when he learned about the incident, he reported it, and the university did nothing.
Well, it doesn't say that.
Hold on, let me explain why.
All right, we got to take a break. I didn't mean to go down this wormhole.
This is important because he just signed the new contract, and in the new contract, there was different language.
All right, football at four is coming up next.